If someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. And we're going to start off with something that I think there's a bigger question involved with this thing. Now, Betty, I think it was you that showed me the John Crist video. Was it you?
Yeah, I stumbled on it, I guess, 2 days ago. I don't know. It just came up on my TikTok feed.
Okay, so if you don't remember John Crist and what went down, I'll give you just a little background information. Okay, so John Crist, Christian comedian, we've had him on the show a few times, and he's always been great on the show, and like his stand-up is really funny. Like, I think his stand-up is great, and so I'd been seeing other things of him doing stand-up again at different comedy clubs, and he's still doing the Christian angle thing, but his life kind of came unglued a while ago when allegations surfaced about him being, I can't use the word abusing women or victimizing women, like he, because it makes it sound like a Me Too thing. Mm-hmm. He was being a complete dirtbag guy, you know, and taking advantage of women using his, you know, place. But there was culpability on both parts in this one. Mm-hmm. It was never a place of position of power and, you know, someone trying to get ahead and like the work at work Me Too stuff. And it was mm-hmm. never a case of force, you know, like I'm trying to delicately navigate right. this a little bit. There were no charges ever filed against him, like in a court of law. But it was stories that came out about him being a jerk when it came to women and doing things that were not lining up with his faith. That's the big broad stroke right. of it. And so he was doing the stand-up thing, and Rock, you found this, and I thought it was pretty funny, you know, what he's doing now with his stand-up.
You ever been listening to a Christian radio station? You ever going through some kind of hardship or struggle or hard time? You hear a song that's for you. You ever been there? Thank you, Jesus. I needed this song. It spoke to you directly. You ever been there? So have I, but like in a different way, okay? You ever been driving home? It's like 3 a.m. You're on the way home from, you know, making some poor choices. And you pull around the corner, you see that 24-hour Taco Bell, like. Just in bumper-to-bumper traffic, just screaming at the guy in front of you, like, dude. I don't know how they know. They know what's going on in your life, always. I don't know what kind of witchcraft they got going on over there. Me and my little brother, when I turned 16 years old, me and my little brother had a pact. He was 14, I was 16. We were going to sneak out of the house and go to Hooters. Me and my little brother. I was a kid. Anyway, we pulled out. We drove into the parking lot like... My brother was scared to death. He's like, dude, let's get out of here. I was like, nah, let's go inside. No one's gonna know. One time I got rear-ended in traffic. I got rear-ended. I stepped out of the car and I was like, can I get a witness?
So he's basically working in a bunch of Christian songs into his stand-up. And it's something he's done in the past before and that I saw that I liked. But I think the bigger conversation is, I know everyone would have a different opinion about this, is like, when do you get to come back, in essence? When you've had this fall from grace inside of Christianity, when do you get to come back? Because you should be allowed to.
Yeah,
because
we've all messed up.
Yes, and there's got to be grace, and there's got to be forgiveness, and you have to be able to make mistakes, atone for them, and then be restored. Because God is about restoration. He restored all kind of people. Look at all the horrible people in the Bible that, like David, murdered people, you know, and he was called a man after God's own heart. So it's kind of like, where does that line fall for us with people like John Crist, you know, like, because I know some people like won't talk about him in Christian radio and things like that because he messed up, you know, but I don't think you should have to be parked forever.
I think it has to do with the role of leadership, because when you're in the limelight, you are put in a leadership role. People look up to you. And so if you're putting yourself in that space again, it's hard because you're in essence, you're saying, okay, I've wiped the slate clean. I'm good to go. People may forgive, but they don't forget.
Right. Not always. I know we are fickle. I think restoration is part of restoration. Like when you mess up big, I think restoration has to come with some level of accountability to show that you have made the right steps to getting fixed. Like he went to like a rehab kind of thing. And so like, I think that's step one, is being very open about what you messed up with and being just honest and like kind of throwing yourself on the sword a little bit, and then allowing other people that are in your life to speak into it and keep you accountable and make sure you're staying with it. Because especially with addictions and things like that are long-term things that you don't win overnight, you know, I think that having that accountability and showing that you're sorry is a big deal. Like when he... when all this came out and his career just bottomed out on him, like his apology thing did not feel really sincere. It felt really like, all right, I have to do this. And, you know, it just didn't come off that way to me.
It's easy for us to think that, though, through text, because it's not through, you're reading something. You're
not
going through.
Well, no, I watched it. I watched
it.
It was a video.
Oh, it was a video, and it still seemed.
Yeah. So it still had other context, and it had verbals and nonverbals, and like if you were talking to somebody. And so it didn't, like, blow me away.
But he's not an overly serious person.
Sure.
Like, at all. Like, there's so few times when he comes across as somebody who's trying to get a serious point across.
Right.
So for him to post a video, you're used to this like complete comedian, sarcastic human being, and him putting a video out there, I feel like that is tough because it just contrasts with who he is.
See, I have friends that know him well, and so that was my initial take, was like, I'm not feeling this. And friends that know him well were like, yeah, that like they were like, yeah, I think, but they weren't writing him off either. They're like, he has some work to do, and this is part of the work through it kind of thing, you know? And so I'm hoping that now that he's back out and he's back working and stuff, I really truly do hope, because I don't want to keep anyone from making a living, you know, and doing this job. Like, I really hope that he's got it worked out, and that if that's the case, that people will restore him. Because, I mean, the reality is any of these things can happen to any of us, you know, and the first thing we're going to want to do is have grace and be restored and be able to, you know, I'm on the fence for me personally, like when a pastor messes up and then if they go through all the proper steps, then they start a new church and start over somewhere. It's like, all right, I get that. Like one of our pastors at one of our churches that I went to for years here had an affair, and it was a big deal at his church. And then our church gave him a chance, and he was restored, and he had made all the atonement and did the right things. And he was amazing, you know? And so his one mistake didn't have to cripple him for the rest of his life. But then I don't know that you go back to that church and serve. Like that to me, I think you have to start fresh somewhere else without that.
And that's easy to do for a pastor. How does a comedian do that?
That's exactly it. And it's hard. I think it's almost like you go through the things, you do everything, and you just start doing your job again.
Yeah.
And people that are okay with it will go, and people that aren't won't. You know,
you just bank a little bit on people just forgetting.
Oh, I think,
in essence.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen John in a while. I wonder what he's been doing. Because a lot of the things, too, is fortunately, too, in this industry, it's a very small industry. Like, it does, the news doesn't spread like crazy far, and it doesn't make Entertainment Tonight and stuff like that. And so there would be a lot of people that might not even know. Like, oh, I thought he was on vacation. Thought he was in Hawaii. Oh, really? That happened? You know?
Yeah.
Ooh, so there is a little bit of a, you know, not knowing benefits you in this thing. I think for me, it would be really hard, like, in doing this radio, if I messed up on that level, it's hard for me, because I know part of me is like, well, would I want to keep doing this? And then I'm like, well, this is what I do. This is how I know, the only way I know to make a living. But would I want to keep doing Christian radio again? I don't know. I don't know that I could. Like, I think I would, like, and if I was John, I think I might would just do stand-up, and I wouldn't bank on the Christian side of it. I might have that color it a little, but I wouldn't be known as a Christian comedian kind of thing. Just like if I did this, I'd go back and do mainstream radio, and I'd try to be a better person and do it right or whatever. But I don't know that I could. I after squandering this gift, like, it would be hard for me to go back in and do this job. So and there's no way I could do it in the place where I was. You know, maybe if you went to another station or something like that, but I would feel like super guilt every day. You know, and like, people were like judging me.
Right. And it's easy for you to go to a different radio station. It's not easy for him to, where does he go?
Because you don't find a new internet.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, John Crist back online and doing stuff again, and you make your own mind up, but you know, if you go check him out and you're like, yeah, okay, I'm good. I'm going to move past this and take him at his word, and hopefully he's doing all right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you go, yeah, it's still not my cup of tea. I'm going to go listen to, I don't know, Wallace Jeffrey Allen. Or another. I'm trying to think of other Christian comedians. Yeah. I couldn't think of the Christian comedian world is a little small. There are a couple guys that are really good in it, but it's really small.
I'm seeing Jeff Allen at the end of this month, I think.
Yeah, at our church thing.
He's coming to the church, so.
Yeah, I like Jeff.
That'll be cool. I've never seen him.
Michael Jr. grew on me.
I do like Michael Jr.
I wasn't sure about him in the beginning. Michael Jr. grew on me. I think he's pretty funny, and he actually does like serious stuff in the middle of his show. He works in comedy, like, and a message too. It's kind of an interesting thing, and it's one of those things that plays really well in a church.
So every pastor tries to do.
Just not funny.
Some of them have their joke at the beginning, and then the whole message is a sermon, and then back to the joke at the end.
All right, so we'll move on here. I had an email based on something we talked about yesterday on the show. You know, we were talking about the hot car sensors, and like, I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Just be a better parent, you know, like, watch your kids more. It says, hey, I was listening to that segment. I have something that I do already when my kids are in the car. If I'm going somewhere, I listen to kids radio, which is something I would not normally do. So it reminds me my kids are in the car so that I don't forget them in the backseat.
Oh,
what is kids radio?
Okay. Well, it used to be Radio Disney, or like, listening to, like, you know, Sirius has kids stuff.
So funny.
But he said, as a new parent, my wife would stay home with my son. I'd go to work. And one day we had a family emergency. I had to take my son with me to work. Halfway to work, my son fell asleep. And since I'd never taken him to work with me, I forgot he was there. I remembered, fortunately, about two blocks from work because he coughed. And it made me realize it is possible to forget your children if it's not part of your routine. I'm like, yeah.
Because
that was kind of Betty's take on it, too, is that it happens and it's worth it, you know, to have this technology just for the time you are distracted. And like, I hadn't really thought of it in this context either. Like, if it's out of your routine, then it could be easily you know, forgotten.
Yeah, because I'm sure you found yourself in those situations where you did something out of your routine and you forgot something that you do every day.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. You know, and if it costs $10-$15, like you were saying yesterday, that's nothing for your child's life.
In the grand scheme of things, for sure. Yeah, that I've told this story before. I lost my daughter in the house playing hide and seek. So.
And there you were yesterday telling people, be better parents.
Well, it was, she hid really good and she fell asleep. So, I mean, because I was doing work. I'm like, let's play hide and seek. And then I just got busy and she hid and she was so good at it. She's the best hide and seek player ever. Lady Rock, what do you got?
Well, Luke Bryan opened up recently about a person that came to his meet and greet recently, and this person had to ask him a serious question that got him to see the importance of how he lives out his life each and every day.
He looked at me and he goes, I want to know how you get through every day having lost your brother and your sister, because I lost my sister and I can't get over it. And my heart's broke. It was a big moment for me because I understood that the way I live with a smile on my face is important to people.
That's interesting. We've talked about that, like when Zach, who used to be on the show, lost his son Samuel after 36 hours, and he shared his story, shared his stuff, his grief, the heartache, and everything, and he walked through that with such amazing strength and love, and it affected other people. And to the tune that I met somebody else, another couple, at an event in Denver, and they came up to me and they were like, "Man, you gotta tell Zach thank you. We lost our son too." And hearing how he went through it is helping us grieve and process this as well. And that's why we share our stories. And so that's interesting that Luke Bryan would feel that gravity of, yeah, and there would be pressure, too, to always, I've got to always be happy, you know, and that's not the answer. It's being authentic and real, but realizing that people are watching, and so maybe you temper how you present that stuff.
I don't know, too, if there might be finding purpose in the negative. Like, you're finding a positive purpose in the negative. So he lost his brother and his sister, both of his siblings, and then these people, now he knows, are looking to him, seeing how he handles grief. And maybe that gives Luke the encouragement that he needs to be like, okay, even though I can't find the big meaning behind why it happened, I can find some purpose in showing people how I deal with it and find the positive in it.
Well, Romans 8:28, I think, is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. All things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. So it's like, okay, well, that's all of us. We're called believers. We're supposed to be in his will. We're supposed to be doing this stuff. And all things are going to work together for good. Everything's going to be great. And that's just not the case. So, like, how do you rationalize that verse? And I think you have to look at that as, like, all things work together for good, the overall good.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes what's not good for you is ultimately good for somebody else. But that's a super altruistic way to live, and it's a really hard concept because we all want our lives to be comfortable and pain-free, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I understand. I want that. But when you lean into the fact that sometimes you're going to deal with hardship, but maybe that hardship isn't even truly about you. It's about how you walk through it, and that is going to speak volumes to somebody else and turn their heart towards God, where maybe they would have never seen it or felt the need for him before. And then all of a sudden, you're, like you were saying, Betty, your pain instantly has a huge purpose.
I think I agree with what you're saying, but I think I would take
truth.
It one step further, though. I would actually take it one step further. You were saying, you know, that all things work together for good, that God, maybe something bad is happening to you because something good should happen to that person through the bad.
Right.
I think there's some truth to that, but I think what it is the bad is going to happen no matter what. I think it gets a little sketchy when you say this bad thing is happening to you because God is going to find glory in it. That sounds a little more like, oh, God is a little cocky and kind of looking out for himself.
But that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I wrestled with that exact thing. I thought, what a jerk this God is to make somebody go through something horrific, a child being assaulted, like, just so he could receive glory from it. Like, I've always struggled with that because it seems so narcissistic and callous, you know, that would happen. That's a really hard thing. And it's one of the hard things that's in the Bible that's really hard for us to wrap our brains around. And the only thing that made me start to understand that more is God was not absolved from the hard thing, in that Jesus dying for everybody else, innocence dying for everyone else's sins, and put himself through that, put Jesus through that, and allowed it to happen, is the thing that made me kind of at least understand that concept, that greater good came out of pain, even though he knew it was going to happen, you know, kind of thing. And that's, I had a hard time wrestling with that for years.
I always feel like that sentence when somebody brings up, oh, did so-and-so deserve this? Did so-and-so deserve this? Our, like, immediate answer is usually going to be no.
Right.
Because we think that, like, people are good. But then you turn that on its tail where it's like, God, did Jesus deserve to right. die on a cross? Like, not at all. So, like, I think, yeah, Jesus has walked through the ultimate pain, and so he understands your ultimate pain, even though it's not good per se. I do think that, yeah, you find situations like those people who said that Zach going through what he went through immensely helped them.
Now, I don't think, Rock, that he ordains all of that stuff. Like, I think part of it is the price tag of living here in a broken world that has disease, death, pestilence, and all of that. Do I think that sometimes, like the Job story in the Bible, that he allows it, fosters it, what have you? I guess, yeah. But then I think other times it's just what we do with it. Do we choose to point people to him, or do we choose to point people away from him? And that's where our free will comes in. And that's where people's stories like Luke Bryan or whoever it is, Zach, choosing to find something good in it is pretty amazing. Because I think a lot of people would feel like you feel, or like I felt too.
So, well, I haven't finished what I was trying to say, but are you saying that you think standing here right now that God is narcissistic?
I had always felt that before I had that kind of my personal revelation in that God also walked through something hard and he's not immune to it, you know, with the death of Jesus kind of thing. And so I used to feel that God was this narcissistic God, that everything was just praise me, praise me, praise me. I don't care what happens to you people, you know? And so that was my old perspective for sure. And that's that's the struggle I had coming to find faith all those years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I was trying to say is I believe that the bad things are going to happen no matter what. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Because we live in a sinful world, so you might be praying for that loved one that they get healing and then they don't. I think I don't say wrong is the word. I think it's hard on yourself if you're going to think, well, God allowed this bad thing to happen because he wants the nurse to get saved.
Right.
Okay, that's going to be hard on you to accept. Instead, and this is easy for me to say, it's kind of like that verse in the Bible. It's like trying to build your foundation on the Lord when things are easy, so that when it gets hard, you're going to have something to hang on to. That's what I'm trying to do now.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is, let's say you're praying for that person, you don't get healing. It was going to happen no matter what, regardless that the healing was not going to come. So the better way to look at it as, God is going to redeem it. He hates it just as much as you do, but he's going to redeem it and make something good come out of it, because it was going to happen regardless. It's not, I'm going to allow this bad thing to happen to you so that I'll get praise and glory for it. I think instead it's, this is going to happen regardless. So instead of me having the will or the opportunity to make something good or bad happen from this, I'm going to choose to make something good happen from it by maybe making someone see the testimony of that person that passed away and didn't get the healing, or the testimony that they see through you, that you're finding the grace through the situation. I think it puts back giving us some, not control, but giving us some, a better, healthier perspective on how God is seeing it. Because the honest truth is, you know, there's that part in the Bible where, you know, Lazarus dies and he weeps because he sees the pain that his sisters are walking through. It's not that he's numb to it.
Right.
He hates it just as much. When he was on this earth, he saw all the people that were following him and he saw all the pain and the heartache and he hurt for them. I'm saying that it's going to happen regardless, the bad things are. So we can allow God to redeem something good from it instead of allowing him. Instead, he could, because he's God, he could make something bad or evil come out of it. But instead, he's choosing to redeem it.
Well, I think the problem was, for me early on, was the translation. Because in the translation, like I grew up with the King James, and it talks about glory. You know, it receives, so that God will receive all glory and honor. And then in other translations, it has a different type translation that doesn't make it feel as narcissistic as that, you know, kind of to what you're saying about it. It puts it differently in a way that gives it a slightly different perspective, so that it's like, oh, okay, so these things are going to happen, you know. Well, the other verse, like, there's going to be trouble in this world, but I've overcome this world. Mm-hmm. And it's that perspective, even that perspective on death. When someone dies, a lot of people go, well, now they're healed in heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's a great perspective to look at, because your worst day dying is your best day in God's economy, you know, in essence. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we have these weird, it's tough to have the perspective of it. But when you, I always look at everything from the super skeptical, critical way that I looked at things before becoming a believer, or even during my early part. And I look at it like how my unsaved friends look at things. And it's really hard to navigate some of this stuff where it's like, you talk about, well, it's going to happen anyway. And then someone goes, well, if God created everything, you believe God created everything, why did he create the rules to work like that? And you go, I got no idea. You know, because he could have created a whole separate set of rules, or is he bound by rules bigger than him? And you go, ooh, that's another sticky wicket to get into.
But also something to think about is that, yeah, why did he create the things? Why is the world the way that it is? Why did he allow sin to enter the world? But when he did allow sin to enter the world, he also knew the loss that he was going to have to walk through as well. So he wasn't gaining anything. He was actually losing something. He was going to have to die a horrible death on the cross. He was going to have, God was going to have to watch his son die. Like, you can imagine if you had to sit there and watch Haley die, that would be agony. Oh, you wouldn't want to walk through something like that.
Not for somebody else. Yeah. Like instead, for other people.
But instead he chose that. He gave free will. Now we could have lived in a world where there is no sin, and then we wouldn't have any free will, but then we also wouldn't know what ultimate love is. Mm-hmm. And also too, we've got to realize our perspective. We've got to have a heavenly perspective, because if you think in an earthly perspective, you said, for your unsaved friends, it's hard for them to accept. I think it would be harder to accept that there is no purpose, that there is nothing at the end of life. I think that would be even harder to accept.
Well, that is the converse to that, is fatalism. Because if you don't have the afterlife, if you don't have the hope of that, then it can be very fatalistic. And what are you doing? Like, why am I doing anything?
There's no purpose.
Yeah, the only purpose at that point really is either live for yourself, or just try to be a good person and make this world a little bit better while we're here.
Why?
And then that's it. That's my point exactly.
No
why?
Point.
Why would anything I do matter? Yeah. And that's what's interesting about every religion has a penalty phase. Like, you have heaven and hell, and other religions, all these world religions all have a penalty phase built into them too. And it's some of them that the ones that aren't true. Do you do that to get social compliance? You know, because you know, well, if I leave people to their own devices, they're going to make bad choices. So if I don't have some fear component inside of this religion, they're not going to make the right choices.
Right.
And religion is how you control people.
And I think ultimately, too, I think we all want control. And that is that is just being human. We want control. But there are some things that we just can't have control over. Like, you want to know, well, why did sin enter the world? There are some things we're not going to have answers to. And you've either got to choose A or choose B. A is you choose Jesus. B is you don't. But there is no in between. So you just have to choose. And there are going to be things, if you choose Jesus, there's going to be answers to questions that you're never going to get.
You don't know, exactly.
And you're going to have to just deal with that. But ultimately, if we have a heavenly perspective, we think this is not it. We know that no matter what happens to us here on earth, it's not it. Eventually, we're going to get to heaven and everything's going to be okay.
Well, there you go. Lady Rock dropping the mic at the end. Birthdays.
Okay, birthdays. Lauren, today is her birthday. Happy birthday. She's turning 18 years old. She said, I graduated high school as class of 2021, and I work at Chick-fil-A in Indiana. Hey, give us the hookup. I'm taking a gap year before going to college for dance. Gavin knows all about gap years. Question, could have anybody else as a host on the show with you, who would it be? Maybe Ryan Seacrest?
Nope. Bargatze.
Nate Bargatze. Yeah. I would
no
tune
problem.
In for him.
Oh, I have no problem, like, him being funnier than me. Like, great. I'll be the second.
But would he be funnier in this format, do you think?
That's a good question.
Because I think that you're...
No, you can say I'm great.
I think that you're better suited for this program, and he's got his stand-up thing.
Stand-up comedians...
I think he'd be great.
It's different. He has a podcast, and I've listened to his podcast. It's okay.
It's not as funny as just guys talking about life.
His stand-up is wicked funny, and his podcast is, it's okay. But so like doing this job is very different. Like if I were to go do stand up, which we've done before on the show and it's horrible, like I still shudder when I think about that. Oh, it's so bad.
So good.
I would
if you'd like to look that up.
No, don't even look it up.
Just go to allmolly.com and stand search up. Stand up.
Everyone everyone sold me out and hosed me. No, don't. So it's horrible. Okay. So I could not do what he does by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. But I saw Nate on Ridiculousness, which is this show on MTV, and the host is actually genuinely funny in that show. And I don't know if Nate just was okay, or did they edit around him, or it wasn't a good environment for Nate because they're all trying to be funny.
And they don't want him to outshine the host.
The worst thing you can do with a comedian is try to be funnier than them. I mean, that's what they do. So when you have a comedian on, your job is to set them up and make them look great. Let them be funny, you know? And they didn't really do that. They all were trying to one up, and it just was like, so it made him not be, I think, as great as he would have been. Because he's so likable and just down to earth, and he's just genuinely funny. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So that would be mine. Who would you have on?
Gavin, did it show up?
Trying to type in stand up. WayFM.com is so slow for me in the studio.
Well, I'm going to try.
No,
it's fine.
I'm going to look.
I want to know. We're running out of time.
Okay, so Gavin, answer the question.
Look it up on YouTube if you. If it's not on here, it's on Wally Show YouTube.
Ugh.
That'll definitely get you there. Somebody to replace me, or what was the question?
Someone to join the show that you would
join the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like who would you want to see on the show?
I feel like, that was a good answer. I think that
Carrot Top.
When we have him in, like I think I love when Matthew West is in.
Sure.
So if I had to choose somebody, I think I'd just choose Matthew.
Yeah, because he can do all the musical stuff. Like, that's one of the things, like, my buddy Gabe, who works with Toby, like, I'd love to have him on a show because he's wicked funny, and he works well in this environment, but he's also, like, a great singer, and, like, the musical stuff we could do would be awesome.
Did you delete it from the Wally show?
No, I did not. I promise you.
Well, I can't find it. I looked up comedy.
I wonder if we didn't translate it into a post because we
Maybe
did it as a Facebook
on
Live.
Facebook Live. So. Okay, so go to Facebook Live.
No,
Facebook.
No need.
And I'm sure you can find it there. Okay, who I would choose?
Yes.
I would choose, for selfish reasons, Mike Rowe. Because his voice, he could do the spots for anything. Yeah. And it would just sound so wonderful.
I find it interesting, though, too, that you didn't... like default to like girl power and like some other strong woman. You don't want that competition.
She is the strong
woman. Well, I know, but she doesn't want that competition.
I just said for selfish reasons. Right. I want to be able to look at him.
Absolutely.
He can sit right here.
He can leave his ball cap on because I think he's balding. But it's beautiful. I know.
Either he's that old. Or Scott Avett. Have you seen Scott Avett?
Oh, from the Avett brothers? Yeah.
That man.
Yeah, she likes Scott
Lord
Avett.
Have mercy.
I get it.
God took a little extra time with him. You know what I'm saying? It would be a pleasure just to sit beside him and breathe.
Oh, wow.
He looks all right.
He's not great.
No.
He's okay.
On that note.
All right, that's going to do it for your aftercast. And as always, thanks for being a potty.